Welcome back to Conversations with Claire. Today, my guest is Rachel Haig.
Yes, you did it right.
This is so good. I told them maybe a month ago that I was going to stop doing that, where I just like wait till I'm on air to see if I can pronounce the last name correctly. And I just did it again. I'm sorry, guys.
It keeps it real.
Work in progress.
It keeps it real. I always get Hagu or just terrible things. So you did great. You did great.
Hagu.
Rachel Hagu.
What is it? What is the like heritage?
Great question. No idea.
Great. I found out what my like background is because of a 23andMe. Like prior to that, we knew that there was like family from like Kansas or something. Like I had no idea and then figured out.
I kind of want to do that. I also don't know if I'm ready to go down that whole rabbit hole. So I just haven't done any of that yet.
It is interesting because it will like give you access to all of these like family members that are available and whatnot. I didn't mess with any of that. I left all of that alone.
I'm open to it, but also like I'm doing great here. I don't know if I'm ready to dive into all my long lost cousins.
Right. And that's what most of it is like multiple cousins, you know, and so then it's like, maybe not. I don't know. Okay. But I say that it could be really cool. Okay. So Rachel, not Hagu, but Haig, is the co-founder of Connector, which is a community for female entrepreneurs. We'll talk more about that later. She is the co-host of Connector Podcast, which they just wrapped season one at 40 plus episodes, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. A martial arts girly is what I have written down. That was actually like the first thing we connected over. And then you're a community builder and a speaker. And so I do always like to start with the how we met. And so we were at a Super Bowl party. Shout out Zach. He's supposed to be coming on. He's been on the podcast once before and he's going to come back. So Zach, I'm sure you're not listening, but if you were, then like, bro, come back. anyway, so we were at a Super Bowl party at his place and you and your boyfriend were there. And one of the things I loved about you, obviously, like I love that we have the video component so that people can see like she's gorgeous and she's yes. But like you were so nice and so welcoming. And I only knew Zach. There were a lot of it was what maybe 10 people, but I knew no one. And so it was just so nice. Like you came right up and were very warm and welcoming and it was just really nice. And then I would say the same thing about your boyfriend, Alex, too. Like he was also very genuinely interested in like, who are you? What do you do? And so I appreciate that from you.
Thank you. Yeah. I saw you at church like maybe a year ago or something.
Yeah.
And I had seen you from some people's posts, like collab posts and stuff, had no idea who you were. But all I knew was like every post you're in, you're just this like happy, outgoing, joyful person. Mm-hmm. And so like a year prior to that, I had seen you at church and I was like, I want to be friends with her. I don't know her. I turned to Alex. I was like, I want to be friends with her. He's like, I don't know who she is, but like, go be friends with her. And I was like, not right now. I'm not going to bug her today. And then a year later, we're going to Zach's house and I'm like, hey, who all is going to be there? And he's like, I don't know, some girl named Claire. And I was like, Claire.
Yeah.
Yes. Now I get to be friends with her. And now we're here. Gosh. So,
okay. That's cool. Thank you. And are you a fan of like manifestation? Are you a fan of like speaking things into existence? Do you believe in that?
100%. Which, speaking of manifestation, I have a dilemma. So before all of my speaking gigs, I rip my pants.
I'm so glad you're telling this on air.
Every speaking gig I have, I rip my pants, whether that is the zipper busting open, whether that is while I'm on stage, I've been like twerking or kicking on stage and my pants just zoop straight down the middle. Today, I was at the gym and I bent over to do bent over rows. We're not even doing booty day. And I felt a little bit of air and my pants right now split down the booty crack. So I'm meant to be here today. I don't know if God is trying to humble me or if I manifested ripping my pants, but that's a pattern.
Maybe
and it
you
happened
did because
today.
you keep telling that it happens.
That's true.
I don't know.
I need to not talk about it.
I don't know.
This could be the last time I ever talk about it.
Or you could just say today, it's never going to happen
again.
I'm never going to rip my pants again. And then just see, we'll just like,
I am
check
releasing
later.
Ripping my pants as a pattern right now.
Well, also you like do a lot of speaking. So this has literally happened many times.
It's probably happened about 5 or 6 times. Yes. And it's always before like big events, like at conference, we're doing sound check. I'm on stage. I'm not even doing anything. I'm standing there and all of a sudden it's like pants ripped.
I can't even. This is funny. Okay. Okay. So I do want to kind of contextualize, like, and this is going to be new for me too. So, and you're still wearing the ripped pants, right?
I am.
I love that.
I figured it would be a great treat for you today. I love
that. And I had the blue top. It's you done good. You done good. Okay. So I want to take it back a little bit and just, I don't know. Now I like want to hang out on this whole thing just a little bit long. I just think that that's really cool that you exist within the same rooms of people and you don't even know. And then I like do believe in God. And yeah. So it's like, I don't know, like God puts people in your path. And then I've always said, like, for example, I jokingly say whenever I listen to content from creators that are, that I don't know personally yet, but I really like them. So whether they're, you know, like Leila Hormozi, like who's, you know, business, right? And that's an area that you, maybe you have a lot more experience in. Me, on the other hand, I've done a bunch of business. I wouldn't consider myself to be savvy. I've just been fortunate and willing to work hard. That's about it. I don't know. Anyway,
grind it out.
Just literally just will hustle. Sell my soul for it. Yeah. I got the ism and I'll put it anywhere. So anyway, but like I say about those things, I'm like, oh, I'm just hanging out with my besties, you know, like they, even if they, whether they know me or not, like they're my friends. And so that's interesting because the internet has such a beautiful, like you found me on, maybe you saw me in the room somewhere actually in person, but also then you saw these collaborations on the internet. And I think that that stuff is so powerful. And I wish people felt more confident to raise their hand or more like the repercussion wasn't as big, less fear about it or whatever. Because for me, so you're on my podcast right now, right? And like, I have reached out to many people to be on this podcast and the number of yeses that I have received, even from people that I've never been connected with massive brands has been astonishing to me. But then also there's a bunch that just like have either never been read or been left on read or whatever. And like that, what harm does that do me? None. Literally just hyped you up. I just think you're dope. So I just told you, I think you're dope. And if it never goes anywhere else, it's okay. But I believe that these people in a matter of like, I'm like, it's a matter of time before we are friends. And I've seen it time and time and time again. And I could give specific names of like people, you know, one that was Rachel Elizabeth would be a recent one that I've like seen around the internet. Do you know who that is? Mm-mm. She's local. I didn't even know that when I started following her. She's basically like a comedy account. She's hilarious.
Okay. I have to follow her.
Yeah, she's very funny. And she's also in recovery. And so that's, of course, like big for me. And so I've been following her. And then I realized, oh, she's local. Okay, I want to have her on the pod. And I'm like, also, it's just a matter of time before we know one another. A few months passes from the time that I like find her to now we're in the same room at a, you know what I mean? Like at a close friend's gathering. It's like, these things just happen. Like even in the moment, I'm like, it's a matter of time. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I do have faith that this will occur.
Yeah.
Tangent. Okay.
No, I'm listening and I'm agreeing. And I'm like, that is literally Austin.
Yes.
Because before I moved to Austin, I feel like there was so many cool people on the internet that I was like, I really want to meet them one day. I really want to work with them one day. Like, I admire the type of person that they are.
Yeah.
And then I actually had a dream about this last night. Maybe it was meant to be. But my dream was me like reflecting on where I'm at now, being in these rooms with these people and like believing that I'm meant to be there. Because for so long, I'm going to go off on a manifesting tangent.
Let's get it.
I'm not a manifester. I've never said, oh, I'm going to manifest something.
Right.
But I realize as I like zoom out over the past couple years of my life being here in Austin, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things here is community. The biggest things here is collaboration and helping each other in business. Like even before this podcast, you and I were talking about like, how do we complement each other? How can we help each other grow?
Yep.
And that's huge here. And I feel like social media in the past has given me so much negative energy of comparison. And, you know, you see all these people online and you're comparing yourself and all of these things.
Yeah.
And the big switch for me when I would say I started manifesting these relationships mm-hmm. was believing that I was meant to, I was worthy enough of being in the room and I could provide value for these other people too. And then naturally it just started to happen. Naturally I stopped comparing myself and I started cheering other people on and looking at their content and being like, that's so dope. I want to do that too. Like mm-hmm. I'm inspired. And then fast forward, now that I had that new belief, I catch myself with happening things like this happening all the time where it's like, whoa, I'm in the room with somebody I wanted to be friends with a year ago.
Do you remember the first one? Like, do you remember the first situation that occurred where you had seen somebody from a distance or whatever and thought that would be so cool, or I admire them, or I watched them for years or whatever, and then next thing you know, you were in the same room and you belonged there? Like, do you remember? Because I very vividly remember the first event where I was like,
how am I here right now?
Right. Like, what was, do you remember it?
I do. So I feel like this has happened to me a couple specific times.
Okay.
One of the big ones for me was Angie Lee. Do you know Angie Lee?
I do not.
Okay. Angie Lee, she used to own Pays to Be Brave, which was a huge women's conference.
Okay.
Like back in like 2017, 2018, which was before I ever even dipped into hosting events or doing anything for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across her on social media and I like screenshotted some of her posts and I was like, this is just so cool what she's doing. Like, I don't even know if this is something I'll do, but I admire this and I'm inspired by this.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward years later, I go through so many life transitions, which I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Yes.
I start hosting events for female entrepreneurs. And never in my mind did it even cross that I was doing anything like Angie. And then I found out Angie actually lived here in Austin. So I sent her a DM and I was like, hey, like, I was really inspired by you years ago. I actually sent her like a funny video of me like screaming off of a rooftop being like, Angie's going to speak at my conference. but anyway, I was like, you know, I'm really inspired by what you did years ago. And I'm actually doing that now. I would love for you to speak at my event. And her yes was so quick yes. And we ended up bonding and now we're good friends. And I feel like I've learned so much from her. She's just the goofiest woman ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that until she was speaking at my event. I was going through old screenshots and I was like, I screenshotted this in like 2016 before I even knew this was the life I was going to be living.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge aha moment, a huge moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it never ends. You right. know, you go to events.
It compounds. It's like a snowball. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Every time you grow, you're like, whoa, I prayed for this and now I'm here.
Right.
I think it never ends. It's a beautiful part of the journey.
And it's so exciting too, because how old are you?
24.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That is everybody's reaction. Yeah.
Oh, this is so exciting, dude. There's runway ahead of all of us, hopefully, right? But like, let's go. What rooms are we getting you in next? Okay, I'm so excited.
Put me in all the rooms.
Literally all of them. That's really, really, really cool. And I think the other piece of that that's worth picking out of that story, which is such a fun and inspiring story, but it is that you were doing all of the hard work, because this just sounds like, oh, cool, great. Like, that must be nice for her. Or, you know, you were doing all of this work to get to that point. So there 100%. Was all of this work baked in. And so that's the one, like, for me, it was being in the rooms of all of these people in the fitness space
mm-hmm.
and that I'd been following online for so long. And the next thing you know, they were like my peers. And it was just the most bizarre, shocking thing. And now it's just normal, right? But if I think about all of the years of learning, and that includes going from, for me, like no athleticism growing up, no sports growing up, to getting in a gym, to moving poorly for many years, to choosing to do, to finally getting sober, to you name it, you know, like all of these different stages of the journey that like people, like when I was in them, I would have never known that they were going to give me the gift of access to yeah. being in that room, that I was going to become the person that belonged in that room. And yeah. so for like, for your story, it's like, yeah, you got to a place where you were able to ask her to come speak, but like you had to do all the back end work to learn how to host an event, to host an event well. Like I would imagine that it had to be enough of a caliber of a thing for her to be willing to say yes, you know. So you worked your butt off to get to the place where you belonged in the room with that woman.
100%. 100%. Yeah. John Azaraf, have you ever heard of him?
Okay. Keep throwing me names I don't know. I can't wait to come back to this episode and like take notes.
So he is big on like meditations, and he'll make different meditations and stuff, mostly around money mindset.
Okay.
But one of his meditations is you're walking through a desert and you're struggling because you need water, right? And you don't see water anywhere and you're getting really burnt out. You're getting really tired. And then you see a cactus and you see more cactuses, and that's where the water is.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think of it very similar to opportunity, right? The opportunity is there for all of us, no matter where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be looking for that opportunity. And then you have to take action on that opportunity to then be able to see the next one and see the next one and see the next one for where you're going. Mm-hmm. And so with manifesting, if we're going back on that, I feel like a lot of people believe it's like, okay, I can write it in my journal and I'm like, please happen. I appreciate it. And then it happens. But no, that's not the truth. It does take working. It does take hustling. A lot of times it takes burning yourself out and learning a ton of lessons.
Totally.
To get yourself in that room. But through taking action on that thing, you start to see more and more opportunity.
Mm-hmm. My awareness around the context of your age has just absolutely shooketh my whole game plan in the sense of the, like, it's inspiring. It's really cool because yet again, that is not diminishing. That is encouraging.
Yeah.
And so I do want to take it back now because this is going to help us put these pieces together. And so I have been able to take a look and see that you've got a why behind you that is, or behind you in front of you that you carry that's huge. And I don't know the depths of that story. And I know we'll only get so far in our time domain.
Yeah.
But where did you grow up? What was it like? Let's go back.
Yeah. Okay. Taking it back to the day I was born on January 29th. So I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
And I had divorced parents and I have one sibling. Her name is Danielle Haig. She passed away in 2020.
Okay.
From cancer. Okay. And so our childhood was very different than I would say I saw a lot of my friends go through because my sister had so many disabilities. She had a rare genetic disorder that the U.S. medical system still has no idea what she had. And so I was kind of put into the position of being her second caretaker at mom's house and at dad's house for my entire life. So really,
what is the age difference between the two of you?
3 years. So
she's younger?
Yes.
Okay.
So being around 3, 4, 5 years old, I was starting to be a caretaker. And this looked like giving her 15 different medications a day, giving her shots, going through, she was diabetic. So testing her finger every couple hours, like being a full caretaker and adulting really young. And I didn't get to experience a lot of the like childhood stuff. And so I would learn, I would read, I'd read my sister books, I'd pretend to be her teacher at home. And my upbringing was a lot of just being with her and experiencing time with her. That is when I found martial arts. My parents put me in martial arts as kind of something for me to do, but also a place for me to go when they were in the hospital with my sister. And so I was living pretty much at the karate school every single day after school until 10 p.m. most of my childhood.
Interesting. Did you enjoy it then?
For the first couple years, no. I was a very shy kid. And so taking class, I would pee myself. I would cry. I would throw
first
up.
She's peeing herself. Then she's ripping her pants.
Ripping my pants. No, I was so nervous. I was nervous to get hit. I was nervous to do martial arts in front of the other parents. Sometimes, I mean, my mom was there a lot, but sometimes my parents would have to drop me off to spend time with my sister. And so I would feel like, I don't know, I just didn't have the support there. So I was just super nervous. But around the age 9 years old, they had me actually start assisting with classes. And I would help teach the tiny tigers. I'd help teach, which is the 3-year-olds through 5-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Teaches you a lot of patience to teach them how to punch and kick and not hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I would start teaching class and it kind of felt like that working with my sister again. I got to lead other children. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really fell in love with the sport myself because I had to get better if I was teaching others. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time at the martial arts school from age 5 to all the way up to 19. And I ended up getting a job there at 14, the youngest that they could hire me. And so from a child, I was working, I was adulting, I was doing business. And that's really where my passion came from, building my own business now, was learning how to do it then.
Okay. That is, so I'm very excited for you to meet Jimmy as well, just because he started karate when he was 5.
Ooh, okay. We could probably bond over some trauma.
I say when he was 5, I'm saying. Yeah, I can't relate. I did not get put in martial arts. Can't relate at all. In fact, it's been such an interesting thing as our upbringings were so vastly different. And so to find us being so complimentary at this stage of life is quite interesting. But let me correct myself. It was age 3, I think, that he got put into that. Okay. He started lifting weights at age 5.
Lifting weights at 5? Is that even allowed? Is that okay?
I don't know
if it's... Does that stunt your growth?
These are questions that I don't have the answer to. I know that those are questions that get asked.
Yeah.
As to whether or not, I think there is ongoing experimentation about whether or not it is beneficial at age. I don't know. What I do know is that he is 28 as of last week and jacked out of his freaking mind. Like, the you've seen him. Yeah. It's like, whoa. But it's 23 years of very, very, like, I mean, he's always been, like, he would consider himself to be very obedient. So he just did the things, right? Yeah. So he's introduced in the garage to weight training all that young. And then he just keeps going. Yeah. And it became, you know, his outlet. So that and martial arts. So it's interesting. I want you guys to meet because I feel like you'll have some things. But there is this discipline component because what I'm hearing from you is there's clearly a lot of hardship. You lost your younger sister. Mm-hmm. You also co-parented. I don't really know what to say, but helped parent your younger sister. Like, there was so much responsibility built in for you far before the average bear, right? And whereas I was the youngest sibling in my home, and also we were just kind of let run, do whatever, right? Like, at loose ends all the time. So, and this is maybe just my own personal disposition. I don't know, but I easily slipped into like selfishness. Yeah. And I carried hardcore selfishness throughout my, you know, teens and most young teenage girls, like, have, you know, whatever, but well through my 20s. Like, it was the Claire show and it was whatever was going to make me feel okay. And and whatever that looked like, until that didn't work anymore. But so a very different story than yours, which then also almost makes me feel like I understand better how you're 24 and you're in the situation that you're in right now with the work ethic that you have, having built these businesses that you've built, and where you're going. Okay. So your sister is sick from a very, like, from birth.
Yes. So my sister was sick pretty much from birth, in and out of surgeries, all of these things. Around when I was 17 years old, my sister was on kidney dialysis. She needed a kidney transplant and she had a really rare blood type. So she was on this list for a very, very long time.
Okay.
And during that time, we were told over and over and over again that we were going to lose her. And so on a personal realm, I was going through so much just like identity shifts, almost like what you were just talking about, like Claire's world. I was trying to figure out, what is it going to be like not being a caretaker? What is it going to be like not having to always take care of other things? Like, who am I even? And this kind of grieving process started before my sister ever even passed. Mm-hmm. She went through kidney dialysis for a while. We were told we were going to lose her. And then last minute, she got an emergency kidney transplant, which was a very beautiful thing. It gave our family so much hope. It gave me more time with my sister. Unfortunately, from that transplant, because it was so urgent, it was so last minute, all of the boxes weren't checked on medical testing, and my sister received cancer from the donor. And so right after that transplant, right after that push of hope, we went down this entire journey of chemotherapy, moving my sister to different cities, different hospitals that were willing to work on her because of all of her other diagnoses. That chemotherapy is extremely hard on your body.
Sure.
And so for a couple years there, we then went through a whole nother kind of caretaking spiral. And that was when we learned that there was no cure and we just had some quality time we had to spend with her. And this is, I have a hard time sharing some of these things because I never want to bring the energy down, but I just want to share, like, for those that have lost a loved one, I think it's so powerful to share these stories, mm-hmm. because grief is never really talked about.
No.
So it's also beautiful to have these conversations. So I'm always open to any questions that you have around it too.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, and yeah, grief is, my grandmother passing is what got me into recovery. And so that was I remember facing grief for the first time in my life a handful of years ago and being like, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm not doing that. Didn't have any awareness around what that was going to feel like other than that people seemed to say it was really bad.
Yeah.
And I know now that it comes in waves and there are certain phrases like, you know, grief is just like, it's just love that doesn't have a physical home anymore.
Yeah.
And I love that because whenever the wave washes over me, it's suddenly and unexpectedly and inconsistently and all of the things that you have intimate knowledge of, like, it's just like, oh, this is just love.
Yeah.
That just doesn't have a home anymore, but that's all it is. And it gives me more peace about it. But so I have curiosity, your whole life, was designed around helping others.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? We like to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just kind of something that we have a tendency to feel fulfillment from.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself having any sort of like a unique relationship to helping others? Do you ever feel like, do you feel contentment if you are not like, I know for me, I can definitely have times where if I don't feel like I'm helping people, I'm like, why am I here? What am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel that?
I definitely feel that a lot. I've noticed that since my sister passed, my caretaking has turned to animals. And that's why I have a lot of pets. But
okay, what kind of pets do you have? I know we're going to like take it back up.
I have three dogs, a cat, a snake. And then out in Waco, we have kind of like a family-ish farm with a lot of horses, cows, goats, chickens. That's where I like to spend my time.
Okay, so I'll go out there with you. Okay, cool, cool,
yeah. Yeah, let's go ride some horses. I'm dead serious.
We're going to leave here and go there. Yes. No, okay. So your sister gets a transplanted. What's the word I'm looking for?
Gets a
organ. Thank you.
Yes.
Organ with cancer.
Yes.
And so then it's up and then it's down. I did hear you tell the story of like you having that moment with her
mm-hmm.
when she was in a coma.
Yes.
Do you mind kind of sharing that? Because that feels very pivotal.
There's actually two moments. So I'll share that one, but I'll also share one I haven't shared before.
Okay.
And it took me a really long time to share this because I held a lot of guilt around it. And I know a lot of people can probably relate to when you lose a loved one, all the guilt of like what I would have told them, what I would have said, what I would have done differently. So prior to my sister passing, I was doing door-to-door sales as a job. And this was kind of around COVID time too. So I wasn't able to go into the hospital and see her. They wouldn't allow me in. So I would only FaceTime her and call her. And we knew that she was passing soon. And the doctors wouldn't really let me in until it was like that time during COVID. Yeah. And so my sister had been calling me over and over and over again. My mom was telling me, hey, she might go into a coma soon. And so we had a routine. She would call me every single morning and we would talk about her day. We would talk about the nurses she didn't like or she did like. We would talk about all her fun, favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had texted me and was like, hey, just so you know, she might fall into a coma soon. She's having a lot of seizures. And she called me. And I'm standing outside this door-to-door office. And it was time to go in for our team meeting. She calls me and I'm on the phone with her. She's telling me all these exciting things. And my boss came out and was like, Rachel, you need to get in here. You're teaching today. Like, get in here. Come on. What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And originally I had taken the door-to-door job, one, as an opportunity to get better at sales and talking to people, but two, because it was kind of on the fence between a 9-to-5 and entrepreneurship. I knew I wanted to do something that was my own, and this was kind of in the middle there. And I told him, no, I'm on the phone with my sister. And he's like, get in here, and yelled at me. And so I told my sister, I was like, I'll call you back. I have to go take this meeting. And I go in, I take the meeting, I'm not on my phone. My mom had texted me a couple times right after that, about 30 minutes later, saying she fell into a coma. And that was the last time I actually really got to speak to my sister. And right after that, I ended up flying out to visit her and be with her in her last couple days. And that was when I really promised myself, I don't want to do a 9-to-5. I don't want to work for other people. I am meant to make my own time. And that is when I'm going to be able to share her legacy the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. Like, entrepreneurship is hard as fuck. But that's when I'm going to be able to share her legacy and share who I truly am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want anybody ever in control of my time or the things that I love again.
Mm-hmm.
The second story was,
I want to ask before you go there, and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There's something special about this container.
Yeah.
That we now get to keep this and reflect back on it. And that means a lot to me that you choose to, like, thank you.
Of course.
I also think something that stood out is, sounds like she spent a lot of time in hospitals.
She did. Her and last about 3-4 years, she never really got to leave a hospital.
And if anybody spent any time in a hospital, which most of us have, it's not a fun place to hang out.
Mm-mm.
And here you are saying that you had scheduled calls with one another and she would tell you, yes, the nurses she didn't like, but also the fun things. Like, there was repeated fun it yeah. sounds like, how did she have a disposition that was positive? Was that just in her? I mean, that's just a standout to me that she's able to like call you and, you know, because if you go in, it'd be very easy to just be like, yeah. I'm just miserable.
Yeah.
And that probably maybe gave her access to more time. I don't know. Yeah. But
she was the goofiest outgoing person ever.
Okay.
And I put a lot of who I am today on that, because after she passed, I was like, how can I live the way my sister would have lived? And she had no boundaries. Like, she would dance in front of people. She would say whatever she wanted to say, even if it offended people. Yeah. Right? Like when I talk about the nurses she didn't like, she would be like, Stacy gave me an IV when I told her I didn't want it. And I'm like, you need it. She was just such this dramatic, outgoing person.
Yeah.
But we had this thing. It was called Dance for Danielle. And she would videotape her nurses and stuff dancing to random music. She would dance and blare music almost to the point she got in trouble at the hospital because she just wanted to listen to like rap and hip hop with like a ton of bad words. She was just outlandish. She didn't care.
Yeah.
But she was so herself, and I feel like that is what gave her so much hope during this time. Mm-hmm. She didn't really accept that she was sick. She knew she was different than others, but she didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be her, and that gave her a lot of her strength.
That's cool. I think I still am new to you, but you carry a lot of that energy you just spoke about.
Thank you.
So if your goal was to do more of it, yeah. I think you're doing really well.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And I say all the time about my grandmother that the rest of my life will be spent attempting to introduce other people to her heart because it was so pure.
I feel like that's
and I'll
such
mess
a
it up every time,
way
but
to
I'm
going to
try.
It.
You
That's
know?
Such a beautiful way to say it. And oftentimes what I've learned, I've lost a couple friends I grew up with. The people that leave us early are oftentimes the most outgoing, the most pure-hearted, mm-hmm. the most just genuine giving people. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe it's because they served their purpose. And not that we're bad or we're anything, but like we are also here for a reason to share that legacy. Mm-hmm. To, you know, there's people you're going to meet that your grandma never would have met, but you're going to be able to share that legacy with
100%.
Them.
100%. And you're doing that with Danielle.
Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Cool. Okay, so that story that I did hear.
Yes. So after that, I went out there to visit her. Mm-hmm. COVID cleared in the hospital, and this was probably a week or so later. She was kind of in and out of comas, but at this point, she was, what do they call it? She had the tube in her mouth, so she could only sign.
Intubated?
Yes. Uh-huh. She could only sign. She couldn't speak at this point.
Okay.
She had fallen into another coma, and she was having a ton of different seizures. Mm-hmm. So her cancer, she had over like 40 different tumors all throughout her body, some in her brain, which were causing the seizures, as well as the ones that actually made her pass were in her intestines. And so her intestines were just falling apart.
Uh-huh.
So she goes into a coma and the doctor comes in and tells us, hey, like, do we want to resuscitate? Like, we're having all these hard conversations. And my mom takes the doctor outside because we didn't want Danielle to hear those things. And
how old are you?
I was 20 years old.
Okay.
Yes. And she was 17. And I'm laying there. I'm holding her hand. And we had been talking to her over and over and getting no response. And I just closed my eyes. I took a deep breath. And I was like, if there's any way that she can hear me, I just want her to hear this. And growing up, my sister was really close to my mom. My mom was kind of her main caretaker, taking her to all the doctor's offices. And before she went into her coma, she had asked my mom, what's going to happen to you if I'm not here anymore? And she had asked my mom things of like, who are you going to take care of if I'm not here anymore? Mm-hmm. And that weighed really heavy on my mom. And so I knew it weighed really heavy on my sister. And so I held her hand and I was like, hey, the doctors are telling us a lot of negative things. And I know you know that. And I want you to know it's okay to give up. Like, you fought a really hard battle. Mm-hmm. You've been joyful in moments nobody else would be able to be joyful. Mm-hmm. But if this is too much for you, at this point, all of her organs had failed. If this is too much for you, it's okay to give up. And what I don't want you to worry about is mom. What I don't want you to worry about is me or dad. I want you to know I will take care of mom. I will take care of the family. And everything is going to be okay. And I close my eyes and I'm crying. And she squeezed my hand in her coma. And this was the first reaction we had seen from her in days. Shortly after that, she passed, I would say about 5 hours or so after. She actually, and this is very common, she didn't pass until my dad got there. And my dad was stuck on some flights. And I've heard it's very common for people to wait for all their loved ones to be in the room. And she passed away. And from that moment, I then kind of sat with myself of, one, all the grief feelings. Two, all the feelings of who am I if I'm not taking care of Danielle anymore? And then three, how in the hell, and excuse my language, am I going to do this promise mm-hmm. I just promised? Mm-hmm. Like financially, emotionally, how am I going to take care
of my 20.
Mom? Yeah.
And you've had responsibility since age 4, 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's a... Sorry, you're just going to have to give me a minute with that one.
It's okay.
Because I have a lot of... What'd you do next?
So if anybody knows anything about the door-to-door industry, they don't really take care of you as much as they make it seem they're going to. So I was living pretty much in a closet in like a extended stay with like 20 other people that are in their teens selling door-to-door. And so... And the companies, they don't pay you until like after the summer. So if you leave their company, they don't pay you the second half of the check, if that makes sense. So I'm sitting here in this moment of like, financially, I am not stable to take care of my mom. I literally live in a closet right now. Mm-hmm. Like 20 years old, I'm sure a lot of people face this. Just like, you don't even know yourself. How can you take care of your family?
Well, most people would never even attempt to take that burden on. I will say this is another thing that Jimmy has chosen to like speak into, like, I will take care of my family. I will take care of my best friends, you know? And I'm like, I think for so many people, I don't even know if they ever even have the desire, but maybe they do. And the belief in self to do it is another thing that it's just like the idea that you believe that you're a person who has the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
But then I believe that once you believe it, that you actually can.
100%. And I think that's what I went through. That was kind of when my personal development journey started.
Okay.
We talk about manifesting. That's when I started figuring out, hey, I got to change. I got to change who I am. I got to change the job that I'm doing. I've got to change the people I surround myself with. I need to learn who I am and learn how to work through my grief and carry it differently so I can show up for my family. And I think the biggest thing that I realized, and maybe a lot of people can relate to this, I learned, for a while I thought taking care of my family means financially. I learned that in that season, 20 years old, it didn't have to be financially. Sometimes your family just wants time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they just want time with you.
More than anything.
More than anything.
Yeah.
And I started to see my parents, my grandparents as like, this is their first time through life too. They're grieving. They're just trying to figure it out. And if we can just spend time and I just listen to what you're going through and I share what I'm going through, that is the most quality taking care of them.
So you feel like you were able to speak a lot about how you were feeling and so on, like has being able to communicate your experience been something you feel like you've had the ability to do?
I think it took me a long time.
Yeah.
That moment right there just taught me presence. It just taught me stop thinking about the future for right now. Don't think about the past and all the hard times and the guilt that you're holding from losing your sister and just be here now. And then over time, being present helped me start to develop who I am and how I can actually share my story and bring that to the table and eventually launching the company that I have and all of those things. But it definitely wasn't easy from the beginning. It took a lot of time to even figure out what to say.
Yeah. Dude, you're so cool.
You're so cool, Claire.
Thanks. Okay, so then I want to, okay, so the day-to-day and the immediate following, of course, is very grief-stricken, very family presence and so on. However, from then to now, you're 24, so roughly 4 years-ish of time has passed, and you've done some really, really cool things professionally. So then And I think that then you, like, you have to draw yourself into the future. You even spoke before we started recording about being a big picture person or a long game person and not necessarily in the nitty gritty of the today. Yeah. And, but more so in the, like, the vision, the visionary, maybe. Is that an appropriate way to, okay.
Yeah.
So when, after her passing, did you start to, like, do something besides door to door, and what did that look like?
Yeah. So I hit a point where I knew I needed to get out of where I was at. I needed to get out of the door-to-door industry, and I also needed to get out of the city that I lived in. At this point, I was kind of traveling with door-to-door, but just being in Vegas, my hometown, was really hard for me. You know, I would see the cemetery my sister was at. I'd see all the places we built memories. And so I picked up and I moved to Austin, Texas. And like everybody's story, when they moved to Austin, everything changes.
Seriously. It's in the water. If you need to change your life, just move to Austin.
Just pick up, move to Austin.
It'll happen.
But I moved to Austin.
That's actually not a joke. Sorry.
yeah, actually, it's really real. There's something in the air here.
And it's called allergies. Okay. But besides that,
fever.
As I sit here with hives for over 3 months for the first time in my life, I don't even know. Let me see if I can find one to show to you. They're usually on me somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, they're doing a lot better. I've seen a woo-woo allergist that's like working, because of course in Austin, if you want a woo-woo,
you can ask anybody.
Yes. Anyway, shout out to that guy. If you're in Austin and you need allergy treatment, which if you're in Austin, I'm sure you do, you should actually hit me up for him, because he's made it way better than any other thing I tried. Okay, sorry. You moved to Austin.
Shortly after moved to Austin, I got the typical Austin swag pack. You know, I went to Squatch Fitness. I started doing I started doing ice baths. I got immersed in way too many communities that was all things I had never heard of before. But with that, I met my business partner now, who's the co-founder of Connector. And shortly after meeting her, we had this mutual conversation of like, we both are meant to do something big. We both would love to be speakers one day. We both want to impact people with our message. Neither of us fully knew what that message even was, but we just knew, let's try to build something. We had met, do you know Ellie Belly on Instagram? She has ice baths.
Oh my gosh, yeah. She does Comfort Zone Fridays.
Yes.
I love that girl.
So I went to her Comfort Zone, and Ellie actually wasn't there. Somebody else was running it for her. Okay. But everybody spoke so highly of Ellie. Like, they were like, you need to meet her. You need to meet this woman. And I thought it was so inspiring. Like, I was like, whoever this woman is, like, she's cultivated incredible community.
Yep.
All these people are so welcoming, and everybody speaks so highly of her. Like, I would love to do that one day, just lead people and inspire people to do something I love. So I met Ellie. She was great. She was everything everybody chopped it up to be.
And if you need to find that's on Sweat Pals, you can find it. It's called Comfort Zone.
Comfort Zone. She has Comfort Zone retreats, everything.
Yes. And like the Friday morning thing is literally free and it's held in a park. It's the coolest thing. If you need community, I'm dead over your like everything community, and I got the swag pack. I'm dead, because like as soon as you move here, everybody's like, literally, would you like some more community? Hey, did you know there's a lot of but like also if that's something that you're seeking, which is a huge, like, you are immersed in community now, so it is very, very important. But I'm
100%
hashtag unwell over, like, when I got here, I was like, I'm going to everything.
So we went to one LA's events, and that kind of sparked our interest of like, hey, we should start something. Let's just start hosting events. Let's just start bringing people together.
Yeah.
And it evolved over time for sure. It was co-ed and it was workouts for a while. And then we were like, nah, you know, let's not do workouts. Let's kind of do more networking, because we wanted to kind of go more business. And then my business partner actually had the idea of doing an all women event. Like, we had a lot of guys showing up, but she was like, I really want to speak to women. And that was when I was like, absolutely not. Because I realized I had a lot of feminine traumas. I had a lot of, you know, fears around girls bullying each other or being catty or being clicky and just not feeling safe. Mm-hmm. And I think this came from growing up as a tomboy in martial arts and all of that. Mm-hmm. But my sister was a girl's girl. My sister was a cheerleader. She was a dancer. She always had girlfriends. And so I was like, I will try it, because this is something Danielle would have done. And when, fast forward, you know, a couple months after hosting a ton of events, now there's hundreds of women showing up, I realized that that was something I deeply needed. And it made me feel even closer to my sister. And also I could relate to a lot of these women because they also had a lot of the same fears and traumas. And that was kind of when walking in my sister's legacy started, realizing if I was open to doing something she was open to doing, I can make a huge impact with this. And yeah.
I love that. And so you talk about the tomboy. You mentioned this before we started recording as well. And I was like, oh, that's, yes, I do want to go there. So I'm gonna tell you about my version of it. It's not at all the same, but yet it's so cool. So I grew up also, like, I was a daddy's girl, and I always felt less judged by dudes.
Yeah.
And I struggled with women. I had girlfriends, you know, like my best friends were girls and whatever, but I never struggled as much growing up. And through young adulthood I was a bartender for years and you name it. It was always easier to get along with the guys. It was like, yeah. I had far more male roommates than I had female roommates. And it was just like, yeah, I know what you're thinking. Like, you're pretty straightforward. I don't have to read between the lines, whatever.
There's no drama.
And so I leaned into that, and that I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm going to tell my perspective. So I came into recovery from alcoholism, and in my program, they teach you that, like, or I was taught, maybe I should say, I was taught that for me, the women will save my ass and the men may just pat it. And that was so profound to me. And I had not been taught that at a time in my life, in a place. I'm not saying I never existed in other places where maybe they were trying to say something like that, but it wasn't resonating with me. I wasn't in the same space. Yeah. So coming into that and then being told, like, you work with women, that's what you do. And as a result of that, over the past few years, which here in 2 days, we're going to mark the 3-year mark of sobriety for me, which is when I got involved in that program, which is just incredible. I've continued to lean further and further in on that. And far beyond it. And so even, you know, at the church that we now know that we both go to, you know, like,
I stalked you there.
I love it. And I'm like, how many times am I missing your cue? There's also just like, there's just beautiful people everywhere there. Oh, but like, yes. You are like, it just makes sense anyway. But like, even there, you know, like, it just kind of bleeds over into all areas of my life. Like, I have now gotten the opportunity to reframe my relationship with this stuff. And I'm not saying, like, don't connect with dudes, or I'm not telling anybody what to do. Yeah. But for me, it was very helpful, very therapeutic to learn that cultivating relationships with women was so important. And so today, when I enter a room, I'm actually looking for the girls.
Yeah.
And like, given that 20 plus years of my life, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
That's very special to me because I have more beautiful relationships with women than ever before. And it just looks a lot different. And what I can say today is that it's been worth it. So it's very different, like, coming to that place, how we arrive there. And obviously you have a partner that's a male, like, you know, have friends that are dudes. Like, it's not like, don't do that, but it's just really, really cool.
Yeah.
To heal your relationship with other women.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that too. And I started to kind of realize it when my sister passed, because I had so many friends that were guys, coworkers that were guys. I mean, everybody that worked at the karate school all over the nation was mostly men. And so I was just hanging out with my coworkers all day.
Right.
But when my sister passed, not that those people didn't say anything, but girls that went to high school with me, girls that knew my sister, were sending me really deep, meaningful messages, calling me, checking in on me. And I started to realize, like, there's a healing portion to feminine friendships. Mm-hmm. There's like a sisterhood, a bond that is new. It's different. And it's so healing. It's self-healing. And I started to realize a lot of times when I looked at these other women in the past and I felt fears, it was actually an insecurity that I had within myself. You know, if I saw a girl and I thought she was really pretty, I'm like, oh, she's probably rude. But it was actually because I thought, you know, I watched movies and I thought all girls that are pretty are mean. Mm-hmm. And I started to reflect, why do I feel that way? And then it started to heal things within me. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely an ongoing journey. I remember there was multiple times as Sam and I started to build this community and we were getting thousands and thousands of women in, I would walk into my own events and be like, can I get up there? Like, are these women judging me? Are they not? And when I would share that with them, so much weight was left off in the room because everybody else was like, I was scared to show up today too. Mm-hmm. And we were able to bond over that. And Sam and I would have conversations too, where I'd be like, we got to make sure the community is not getting catty. It's not getting clicky. Let's make sure everybody's talking to everybody so everybody feels welcome.
Yeah.
And I think that awareness also helped us cultivate such a real relationships, connection, community, because we had that awareness and those fears and we built it in a very specific way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you have to be very intentional, and it's top down leadership, you know? So like in that situation, you just so happen to be the leader. And so you set the tone, and then you hold the, you know, you hold it. And if you hold it, people will rise to wherever that is. We'll meet you there. I think what's really cool, if I'm just yet again, I think honesty is so powerful. And even for me today, like as I sit here on social media, I will still find myself, you know, falling in the rabbit hole. I mean, like, where am I? Whatever. But like, I'll come across, whether it's a woman I've never met before or a woman I have met before, and I'll experience some form of judgment or jealousy or something still to this day. Well, why does she get to have that and I don't, or something like that? But this is just my tool that I'm using today. I don't know if it's even like whatever, but I will still experience that. And I'm able then in the moment to be like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so instead I can stop myself there. Maybe I can take a look at like, why am I judging her? Is it because of some sort of something that's occurred in my life that makes me feel insecure or something? And like giving like, and not being shameful of that and not feeling guilty about it, but like holding space for that. I mean, like, this is okay. This makes sense. Like life is hard. And trying to dig deeper into like, why am I judging this individual? And then I do also take another step and I just choose to hype them up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, I just like whatever jealousy that I just experienced or whatever is actually because I think you're dope. So instead of being mean, which does nothing for me or anyone else of use, I'm going to flip this and I'm actually going to like think you're awesome, because thinking you're awesome is probably where this initiated from anyway. So I'm not saying that's an all the time thing, but I think that's a helpful tool for me today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes back to like when we're raised and people tell you, I think this is the worst thing you could say to a girl, like a child, but it's like, boys bully you because they like you. Like, anybody that is bullying you, anybody that is judging you, it's an internal thing. It has absolutely nothing to do with you.
Totally.
Also, I want to share, and this is going down a completely different rabbit hole, but
if I had ears, I'd put them on. Maybe I should get some props in here.
Yes,
get some
bunny ears. Like rabbit hole time.
You know how like certain podcasts do like the tin hat and stuff when they go about conspiracies? We need rabbit ears. Okay, I'm going to get those on Amazon. Okay.
Rabbit hole
so
time.
Sorry we don't have them, but pretend we do.
But if we
I'm gonna get a
about
unicorn horn too for you. Okay, anyway, keep going.
Along this journey, we talk about how I was a caretaker and kind of a people pleaser for so long. Around this time of also doing a lot of inner work around feminine friendships, I also had to learn the other side of what does it mean to set boundaries and not people please too much. And I feel like that's something, as I've been around other women, all of us deal with. All of us deal with.
Yeah, make everybody else
and
okay.
So I also just want to share, like, I've had to learn how to set those boundaries. And one of those things is using the freaking mute button on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, I love everybody's journey, but consuming to an extent, Instagram is there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And Meta wants you to consume and consume and consume. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that comes from negative energies. That comes from going down all these spirals. Mm-hmm. And so I use that freaking mute button. I hype somebody up. I do the inner work. And then I will mute them. Mm-hmm. That way I can focus on my presence, my path. Mm-hmm. And when I am able to meet people in person or when I am able to go speak on stage, I can show up as myself and not all these 100 different versions of everybody else I've seen online.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's such a beautiful tool. And then also, like, so, you know, in the coaching work that I do, we just speak honestly about the struggles. We've had a couple of calls in the past couple of days, group and one-to-one, where we kind of dive deeper about relationship with social media, because it's such a real thing that everybody's dealing with.
Oh yes.
And all I can think of is like, I'm nothing special. Like, it's literally designed to suck you in, and it does. And so then it's like, for me, it has to be this further proactivity, because if I'm only reactive after the event has occurred, and once, because like once you come out, they can be like, what did I just do? You know? Yeah. But so what can I proactively, what barriers can I set up in place proactively to navigate around this stuff in advance? And so that's not necessarily about like judgment of someone else, but just simply like falling in and wasting time, because when you're consuming, you're not producing. Yeah. And not saying there's not a time and place for both, but like, are we where we want to be with those ratios? Yeah. And it's designed to take the ratio and dump it on one side. And is that actually what you want? Are you actually happy with that? You know, yeah. Do you walk away from that feeling a sense of self-worth? And if not, do we need to set up more barriers there? And so that's like something that's a very real conversation I'm having with myself today and just clients. Okay. You're great. So tell me about Connector.
Yes.
Like what, I know that like, okay, so it's for female entrepreneurs, but what is it?
Yeah, it's definitely evolved over time, just like any of us humans do.
Yep.
So when we first started, we called it Austin's Boss Babes. Cringy, I know. Actually, no. The first one was Improve Moi, even more cringy. Then it was Austin's Boss Babes, really cringy. I love it. Then it was Empower, which was awesome, but there's a lot of Empower communities out there. Mm-hmm. It's a great word. Mm-hmm. And we did not own those trademarks. So then we pivoted again, and now we are Connector. And the preface behind that is one, you're always one connection away, and one connection can really change the trajectory of your life.
True.
And that goes back to mine and Sam's relationship. I mean, both of us were in really different places than we are now when we moved to Austin, and we met each other. And now there's a huge ripple effect from what we've been able to create together. Mm-hmm. And so we host a ton of different networking events. We've actually done over 100 in-person events here in Austin. We have our podcast.
Cool.
And our goal really long term is that women, female entrepreneurs that are passionate about something, a niche, and they are here in this world to shed their light, to share their light, and to impact other people in whatever way possible. Mm-hmm. Our goal is that we can really create a safe place for them all to connect, talk about their challenges, and find another person in that community that can help change the trajectory of their life.
That's so cool. So what are some of the biggest things that you feel like you've gained as a result of being a part of this?
Yeah. I mean, Sam and I are the founders, but I really believe the community is not built by us. It's built by every woman a part of it.
Yeah.
There's been so many beautiful things that all of the ladies have brought to the community to make it what it is today. Mm-hmm. From that, I feel like I've learned a lot of patience for myself. Entrepreneurship in its own is a rocky road. It's scary. It's like a dark tunnel. And then one day it's a sunny beach, right? You are going down all of the emotions.
Yes, whose idea was this?
Right. But I've learned a lot about myself in entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is like an inner work journey, 100%. Mm-hmm. Having a co-founder, having a business partner, I feel like has taught me so much about communication, mm-hmm. and how to show up better in all relationships in my life, because you have to communicate everything. Mm-hmm. And that's really beautiful. And then also, I've just learned so many beautiful things I couldn't even pinpoint from every conversation that I have, mm-hmm. because building this community opened me up to the opportunity of talking to thousands of women from different walks of life, from different stories, from different traumas, from different experiences to different goals. And there's just so many small opportunities and meaningful conversations in every single one of those moments.
Yep. Yeah. And you never know where those are going to occur either, you know? And if you come in with a closed mind, you're going to be met with not much, I feel. And so going into a room and like, I get the opportunity to mentor some women today, and we talk with the, like about this whole, whatever it looks like, the opportunities that they're seeking. And I'm just like, you know, energetically, this stuff matters. Like, I know for a fact that whenever I shift my energy and I start to get honest with myself and then honest with the world around me about whatever it is that I'm seeking, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But if I stay closed off to it, and I will say fear is a big, big one. I mean, one of the things that's been the last year of my life has been so much fear and shame around financial situation that like, I couldn't even look at it myself. So how could I tell the world what I needed help with there? Because I had to just turn a blind eye. And of course I made a big mess and I'm climbing out of a pile of debt that I made right now, you know, but I'm looking at it. And as a result of being willing to turn my gaze and to tell some people who could actually give me some constructive information, like, hey, do this, headway is finally being made and it's not so shameful. And so that's like my flavor of it. But like, that's the opportunity in front of me right now, is to receive support and actually be open to it and be honest about it. And there's opportunity all around me there. And this is just another thing that's going to give me more capacity to help another person down the road, which we love so much, you know?
Yeah. I think across the board, what I see the most and the conversation I have the most with female entrepreneurs and the challenges they experience it always comes back to financial. It always comes back to, where do I put my money once I have it? How do I invest in the business? How do I invest in myself? Or it comes back to, I need more clients to make more money, or my profits aren't linear, right? They're always going up and down. Yep. And that's natural in entrepreneurship. But I think what I've learned the most, and Sam and I really had to wrap our heads around this at the beginning of this year, Sam had a baby and she also moved to Colorado when she got married and wanted to really raise her kids there. And so that changed some things with Connector. Mm-hmm. And at first it was freaking terrifying. It was so terrifying. But what I learned is when you scale back and when you have a simple business and maybe you say no to a lot of things, but you keep everything very simple, you're mm-hmm. able to impact way more. And naturally, you'll probably start to make a lot more money too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people start business because they want the freedom of finances and the freedom of time, but then they get into their business and they realize they're doing the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. They're just a workhorse for years and years and burn themselves out. And so I had to be okay with having a business that was very simple, that scaled back. And when that happened, I was able to have the freedom I once desired as an entrepreneur mm-hmm. and also scale my business. And that's what I see across the board with all the women in our community too. When you simplify your business, you go all in on one thing, one funnel, one way of solving a problem and one way of impact, you're going to have the freedom and the time to fill your cup back up and show up with good energy. And your business is also financially probably going to increase and make it more profitable.
I love it. And then I will say what I think is, a lot of that sounds conceptual if you don't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
Because like, I believe you. And then I'm like, how do we make it practical, tangible? And what I love is like, this is even something that I'm very in the thick of working on personally. Yeah. So even if this is just full blown a selfish therapy session for me, you know, like, it's when you say one funnel, what do you mean?
Yeah. So I'm going to go inner work and then I'm going to go strategy side.
Okay.
So inner work wise, I learned maybe this was the people pleaser, the caretaker in me. I wanted to do everything. I wanted events. I wanted to speak on stages. I wanted to speak on other people's stages. I wanted the podcast. I wanted 20 different offers so we could take care of people in this way, in this way, in this way, in this way. And now, one, you're overwhelmed and you're only able to give each thing 10%. Mm-hmm. So you're not even able to show up the way that you desire to serve people in every area. Mm-hmm. And that's exhausting. And as you start to get more and more burnt out, your business is going to get less and less of you. Mm-hmm. And then from the other side of that, one funnel, I definitely believe that a business can have multiple different offers. I definitely believe you can have a podcast and a coaching program or, you know, one product, whatever your business model is. But what I've learned to be successful and what I've seen to be successful is really scaling one thing first. You can do it all, but you don't got to do it all right now. Mm-hmm. And so for us, that meant scaling back. That meant pausing the podcast and doing a season two down the road. That meant instead of doing one or two events every month, doing one event a year. But that meant going all in on one funnel. So one lead generation system, one landing page, one email drip campaign, one text list, until that system is so solid that it can pretty much be delegated and work on its own and automated, and we feel at peace with it, it's working, that financial is straight across the board, then adding in the secondary, then adding in the other ways of impacting, and now you're able to show up 100% in this area mm-hmm. and 100% in that area because it's all systemized.
Mm-hmm. What are you fired up about working on personally right now?
Yeah. So connector wise, I'm really fired up about the way that we have simplified right now. At first it was terrifying, but we're seeing so many testimonials, so many great experiences, so many just deeper conversations within the community, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And our one event during the year is like so hyped because it's the only one. That's what I'm really fired up about.
Yeah.
In personal life, having this simple business model has helped me be able to start to dive into things that I love and maybe even start a secondary business. I'm working on something behind the scenes. But also just dive into hobbies that I really enjoy. Go and be on other people's podcasts. Dive into martial arts. I'm trying a ton of different styles and creating a whole bunch of fun content around it just to see what works and what I enjoy. And that is a version of me getting to just learn myself deeper and learn how I want to impact women in new ways.
If somebody were to want to try in their own area, in their own way, to do some cultivating of community, since this is something you've really, you know, obviously I would say, like, we'll go have a look at what this is, you know, like, we'll put the description in the description, how they can find your connector. And so they can take a look at it, you know, on the, at least on the front facing. And of course they can connect with you and ask questions and get involved. But like, if somebody were to want to, like, man, I don't feel like that's available to me locally. And I would love to facilitate growing that as an option for others, because it's something that I crave. Like, where would they, where would you recommend, as somebody who's been through the thick of it, that they begin?
Yeah. So that's actually what we do and what we help women with is grow communities around their business. So that's for women that already kind of have an established business, a problem that they solve, and we can help them get there. But from a really fundamental standpoint, I think my greatest advice is your vibe attracts your tribe. And as you start to get to know yourself, like I did along this whole journey of losing my sister and everything, I ended up impacting people where I never thought I would, but it was my story. And so first step I would say is just dive into your story. Like, ask yourself, who am I and what do I love to talk about? What do I love doing? And then find other people that also love doing that. And naturally, you're going to be able to really cultivate that community. And it will evolve into what it's meant to evolve into. Events have always been my favorite. Just bringing people together. That could literally be at your house. Like, find people, invite them, bring them together, start the conversation, and it'll evolve from there.
Right. And it'll grow. And then next thing you know, you'll be hosting them much, much larger if you so choose. Or there's nothing wrong with, if you like the small intimate setting, that you maybe keep it that way too. Like, you get to decide. Martial arts. What's your current favorite new discipline? Yeah, because it is something that, like I said, that was like the very first thing I say it was the first thing we connected about. It was like what I remember the most of, like, oh yeah, you know, and so what is the current, like, discipline that you're enjoying being a practitioner of the most? Where do you spend your energy there?
Yeah. So I grew up doing mostly Taekwondo. Once I was 13 and up, I started doing Krav Maga, which is all the gun disarms, knife disarms, a little bit of jujitsu, but I will say that's not necessarily where I'm the strongest at. And that's like Austin, capital of jujitsu. So I got to start that. I'm sure you can help introduce me in that world, teach
me. Yeah, I will say I actually met one of the best, black belt female instructors. Apparently I guess I've met her once before, but we had a conversation just yesterday. She teaches over, I think, at Hinzo, is my understanding. Her name is Chloe. Anyway, we literally just had a conversation yesterday, but I think we'll probably talk further. She does gi and no gi. Anyway,
I think Jimmy, what
we just walked away
up.
And he was like, no, she's like actually she's insane. Badass. And I looked and I was like, Oh, wow. And she was so sweet and so, like, yet again, like, was so, hey, Claire. I'm like, wait a second. What? Like, something in the water. Anyway.
That is what I love, I will say, about women in martial arts is, like, they're just badass. Like, I don't care if it's, like, your first class or you've been in martial arts for years. Like, a woman that steps into a martial arts school and tries this sport that has been male-dominated for years, like, it just brings out a fire in you, a power within you. It's really beautiful. But personally...
And then also I want to plug 10th Planet, because that's where I've taken the majority of the women's classes.
I took a class there. I showed up in... Listen, I showed up in leggings, a sports bra, and I had my nails done, and I had hoops in, and they were like, this is not the vibe. You can't have nails. You got to take the hoops out. And I was like, I knew that, but so I love 10th Planet. Yes.
I love it. I'm trying to think, because my nails right now, they haven't been done in a few months.
But I had like longer nails, and I never normally do. It was like for an event.
Yeah, they do want you to clip your nails,
And I was like, I can't rip them off today, but I respect it.
Fair enough. But they have an awesome women's program there. Like, it's so thriving. It's a very, very large group of women, and their instructors over there are also amazing. So it's just, they've been great to me, and I've learned a lot there, and I'm just need to get back. That's really it, is I just need to be back in classes. But anyway, go ahead.
Right now, I think what lights me up the most is two different things, and they're very drastic. I'm really lit up about self-defense side of things, Krav Maga, stuff like that. And my goal with that is I've really felt called to help women over the years, the last couple years of my life.
Yep.
And there's so much controversy around self-defense, because the truth is, in order to truly defend yourself against a 300-pound, 200-pound man, you do need a lot of training. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you could be attacked tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And knowing something is better than knowing nothing. And so my goal right now is really just to encourage more women to try martial arts, to learn some of the fundamentals of self-defense, and get more comfortable in that environment to then go on their own martial arts journey, and the confidence side behind martial arts as well, and self-defense. So self-defense is something that really lights me up. And then also XMA and like stunt work. So I used to be a part of an XMA team when I was younger, extreme martial arts. And that was like the tricks, the flips, the flashy weapons, the nunchucks, the bow staff, stuff like that. And that's what really gets me in the flow. Like before I hop on a teaching call for Connector, I do some like nunchucks in the corner. And so I've been playing with that just for fun and getting into some tricks and stunt work that. And we'll see. I don't know where it goes.
Okay, that's so fun. Yet again, you and Jimmy really do need to hang out with each other, because like he also has gotten in, it's not that, but it's pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And that's like his current journey. So of course, like, you gotta,
I don't know, my vision board had WWE on it at one point, and I will
say,
did
it really?
It's not on my vision board now, but in like 2017, I had red hair, bright red hair, and I was like, this is gonna be my WWE look.
Dude, that's so funny.
And it didn't happen, but we'll see. Maybe one day.
Do you want it to happen?
It still looks very painful.
Oh my gosh.
But it is also all kind of acted out and planned. It's mostly stunts.
Yeah. And it's also they get hurt. Like, it's real.
I think I'd do it. I have a lot to learn before I get to that point. But I feel like I would. Maybe. Why not?
Life's I don't know. It's crazy. I actually, before meeting Jimmy, people would be like, you gotta do rest. Like, that's what you should be
you
doing.
Should be yeah.
Like, people would say that to me. And then now, like, I'm dating one. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, he could do it. I'll watch it.
Seriously. And then I see how much, like,
it's intense.
Dude, it's not for the faint of heart.
No.
Like, you can say it's fake all you want.
I saw this clip the other day.
Not.
And it was like The Rock, like, beating somebody with a squatting belt or
Yeah.
And I was like, that hurts. Like, this might be planned out, but like, that hurts really bad. He has a welt. So I don't know. I don't know if I would do it, but like, maybe.
Yeah.
If I do it, you got to do it.
I love it.
Let's go.
Say, here's the thing.
I'll
is
tag
I can,
you in.
I can pick humans up over my head pretty easily. So there is that. Like, that's one of them. I'm like, well, I can throw you. And I guess I
can. We could be a team.
Yeah. Yes.
It'd be so
be
good
team.
At the stunting that we don't hurt each other. You just pick me up and like toss me.
Yeah,
know?
I'll just we'll throw you out. Into other humans. okay. Well, I love that the martial arts and what you said about, you know, because it could happen tomorrow. And I think that it is just something that's worth mentioning that, like, you know, whether or not, like, I will say for myself personally that being able to watch, like, when MMA started to become more popular and the UFC started to be on TV and stuff like that. I say that, I don't know. But when it started to become more popular, I was like, oh, I don't want, you know, I didn't understand any of the disciplines or the skills. So I didn't understand what was happening, but I knew that people were getting hurt. So I'm like, I don't want to watch that. Yeah. And then I started to become more and more interested in the different disciplines after moving here and realizing there's some real skill there. Therefore, there's that entertainment value. And then in addition to that, like, I want to be a bit desensitized to this because if I were to get into a situation that, like, I feel I love firearms and so that's great. But what happens if you get your hands on me?
Yeah.
You know, and what happens if I don't have, it's just, there's so many variables. And so knowing something is better than knowing nothing. And the other thing that I think is very worth mentioning, you talk about the empowerment. I feel like I received so much empowerment from the barbell. You know, I started hanging out with one in my 20s and it was so that, I mean, like to this day, I call it my therapist. Like, I mean, I love it. The empowerment that I get from being strong and you get that too is like, you can't put, it's just, it's medicine to me.
Yeah.
But then that still doesn't take care of, like, man, if you know how to, and that's okay, it'll just pop over to the other one.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that'll happen. But if you can feel like, or if someone knows how to, like, do jujitsu and you don't, then, like, yeah, they have an upper hand if they get their hands on you, you know?
100%.
Versus if you, so, but what I do think is also worth mentioning is getting more into that world. Like, you grew up around these individuals, and what I'm finding in the past only really, I guess, you know, less than year of being around a lot of people in the martial arts world is I've met a lot of really good humans there.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that's another standout to encourage a woman, as it is something that you really want to do more of, is encourage more women to put themselves in there. Is one, you know, like in my experience, every time I've walked into any sort of martial arts facility, like they're typically happy that I'm there.
Yeah.
And they treat me with respect and they help me get better. And I also show up with this curiosity and humility because I don't, you know, I've got lots to learn. But I think about the humans that I've met and I'm like, I really like these people. Like, yeah, I like them a lot. And so whether it's my own boyfriend, like, I mean, I think he's just totally awesome. But so many, you know, the former military guys that are here, just when I think of the community of individuals that exists within that world, from my experience, at least, I'm like, yeah, these are people I want to hang out with.
Oh yeah.
Like, so that's just another selling point. Like, you may meet some people in that world that might really positively impact your life.
100%. I think martial arts, no matter what genre of martial arts you are doing, the fundamental is a lot of confidence building and a lot of discipline building. Like, how you show up outside of the studio makes a big difference on how you take a hit, makes a big difference on how you show up, how you push yourself, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so when you step into a studio, I've had the same experience. No matter where it's at, no matter what skill set it is, there's very little judgment as long as you just show up and you're ready to learn. Mm-hmm. And you can never stop learning in that industry. There's always more to learn. Mm-hmm. But it is such a welcoming community. And I think the core of that is these people are all very disciplined individuals. Mm-hmm. People that really care about taking care of themselves and then helping other people do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned when it comes to stepping into martial arts is, or self-defense, I guess, for women, is the best thing that you can do is just start now and boost your confidence. And so you said, like, you've learned a lot from even the barbell. Like, what you can do today to make you be able to defend yourself tomorrow is do something today that makes you feel powerful. Mm-hmm. Whether that is going and lifting, whether that is doing affirmations in the frickin' mirror, mm-hmm. or maybe that is stepping into a martial arts class and not even taking it, but watching it for the first time. Mm-hmm. Do something that makes you feel outside of your comfort zone and feel powerful. And that is the best thing you can do to be able to carry yourself with more confidence the next mm-hmm. day and scare off somebody that could attack you.
Right. And it's so great to just note that I remember the years of walking into places and feeling like I didn't belong.
Yeah.
And knowing now that as somebody who belongs in certain areas, that when I see the person come in that I can tell is carrying that, I'm like, you belong here more than anybody, you know? And I know also in my experience with different jujitsu and like martial arts experiences of like, when I come in and take someone's class, like I'm like novice, you know?
Yeah.
They're always happy I'm there. Like, they're always really happy to share their craft and to teach me, and they love a student who's curious, you know? So if you can just carry those things, like, odds are they're probably going to be happier there.
Yeah.
So just go.
100%.
Okay. I love it. Okay. So I think that we always have, we end on the same things. Oh, okay. I did have to ask, you're in great shape. So, I kind of need to know a little bit of what your day-to-day life looks like, because fitness is like my shtick and you're doing well. And so I need to know, like, what does the day-to-day look like for you? What are some routines and habits that you love and it doesn't even have to be necessarily physical health, because all of the other things are going to play in, right? What are some of the health things that you do today that really help you?
Okay. Let's start with mindset. I have a funny one.
Okay.
So there's a gentleman named Carlos. He goes by Los. I don't know if you've ever met him.
I don't know.
But it's like a form of therapy. You go on a really long walk called a story walk. You tell him your whole life. This is a very Austin thing. People listening are going to be like, what? But you tell him your whole life. And then he kind of sits down with you and points out what were the main things that you talked about And like, this is either your traumas, this is the core pieces of purpose in your life. Like, this is what you talked about the most. And so from that, we came up with this really funny saying on a morning routine I could do every day to feel in my body. Because some of the most important things to me are my peace, my presence, really allowing myself to tune into my appreciation and my gratitude, and spend time with the people that I care about the most in my life. So every morning, I do what I call a morning pap smear. And I don't mean the little scoop, okay? I don't mean that. But I do a reflection of my pap smear, and that is peace. How do I want to create peace in my life today?
Okay.
That's P. Then A, appreciation. What do I really want to show appreciation for right now in my life? And then P, people. Who are the people I want to pour into today, or welcome them to pour into me? And then the last one is play. How do I want to play today? And I, for a while, had a really hard time getting myself back into a regular gym regimen. Mm-hmm. And so the play aspect really helped me just focus on my physical health in some way, some form, whether that was dancing, whether that was going on a walk, lifting weights, martial arts, picking a form of play that is physical activity. Mm-hmm. And then I started to get back into that routine and build a gym routine. So that's my morning reflection. Okay, I do every morning, morning pap smear. Other than that, what has really helped me the most is not consuming social media in the morning. On days that I do that, I get really in my head. Mm-hmm. And so right in the morning, I like to do activity, which is either going on a walk, taking my dogs outside, or going straight to the gym, something like that. Once I get my movement in, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be a lot, mm-hmm. that's when I feel my best. Mm-hmm. And then typically healthy meals throughout the day. Either meal prepping or just making sure that I'm consciously trying to get my protein in, which is really important to me. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, a very similar reflection on my morning pap smear. Mm-hmm. Did I do all of these things? Mm-hmm. How did I show up today? And is the life I'm creating today really aligning with the life of who I want to be? And if that answer is no, why and what can I change tomorrow?
Everything you just said, if someone takes and just copies and pastes that framework, you're going to have like probably some pretty cool things happen in life. You know, I love that there's the different concepts. I know Cody speaks about this a lot. There's a book that I can't remember off the top of my head the name of it, but it speaks to this, and the whole concept is steal my homework, you know? Yeah. And so like, to me, at the very beginning of this episode, I asked you your age and you said you were 24 and I about melted onto the floor because I'm like, excuse me, what? Now I get it because you're really like, you're adorable, but I just, the way that you carry yourself, mm. that is a bit jarring to me. And so in a wonderful way. And so then I think about, okay, well then what is she doing to be this person who shows up in the way that she shows up? You just told me, you literally just told me. And some of the key standouts there is you set an intention early. You do some like proactive things throughout and then you review it. Yeah. So like, that's another key piece that I think that so much of the narrative today can often miss. And I'm speaking yet again from experience of like, if I know that there is an area of my life when it comes to my mindset and things that I can improve on, it's actually my nightly routine now that can use the most love. And yeah. I have a nightly review as well that I like, and I've never heard your frameworks and I love it, but like, I don't do it every night. And so what's great is I know that there are these tools available to me, and if I want it, there's more on the table, you know, and I can go back and get it anytime that I want, and I can pick up the tool and use it anytime that I want. This frameworks that you have is just so good. So for anybody listening who's like, I'm not satisfied with the way that I'm showing up in life or just the world around me right now. Like, what happens if you just steal exactly what she said that she does, take her morning thing and take her night thing and just implement that for a bit of time and like, see how it goes. Do it for literally a week straight. And like, how did that go for you?
Yeah.
Did you find that your behavior shifted in a positive direction? Because I think the standout for me would be I can set the intention of the play and the this and the that. And those things are things that are pretty well built into my routine as well. The intentional appreciation, I call it gratitude, same, same.
Yeah.
But where do I know that I have room for growth? How'd that go? Did you execute? You know? Yeah. And if we don't measure, we have no idea.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was that person that had the freaking to-do list like to 100 of, I actually remember at one point in time when I first moved to Austin, I Pinterest like, what is a normal day-to-day routine for an entrepreneur? And it was like, drink water, ice bath, do this, cold shower, like go on a run, go on a walk, work out, like all the things. You know?
Pulled out your swag bag.
Yeah, the whole swag bag. And what I realized was when I didn't check all those boxes, mm-hmm. I started to get mad at myself and shame. Mm-hmm. And that was hurting my confidence. Versus when I set a simple intention every morning, if I don't do the things that I need to do, instead of looking at the thing, I'm starting to recognize how that thing would have made me feel. And I'm starting to go more inward on my routine. And so the next day I'm able to fix it because I'm focused on how I feel versus the checkbox of the things that need to be done.
I love it. I love it. I actually just did a recent homework assignment with my members of my coaching group as well, which was just to create two columns and put them somewhere invisible, you know, where you can see them on your refrigerator, on your bathroom mirror, wherever, but a column of actions that you take that give you a sensation of self-worth.
Yeah.
And so what are the, you know, all of these different things that you do that make you feel worthwhile? And then the other column, of course, is the actions that you're actively taking today that make you feel the exact opposite of self-worth, the shame, the guilt, the whatever. So whether that's mindless eating versus mindful eating, whether that's gratitude versus, you know, feelings of whatever it is, like the different, the streaming, the scrolling, the blah, and just put it somewhere. Because if I regularly am able to see something to help me navigate, like I need some direction. It's why prayer in the morning time for me is a non-negotiable, because if I operate on my operating system and I don't ask for a bit of aid from my higher power, I'm going to go be a selfish asshole.
Yeah.
But if I simply will get on my knees for a few moments and ask for some direction to go be a decent human, I'm far more likely to just experience a better life.
Yeah.
Like, why would I not do that?
Yeah. And that's when you see the opportunities that you never even knew you were meant for. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're trying to control your whole life and say, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, like, you're going to walk right past the opportunities that are meant for you that you don't even know are meant for you. Versus when you set that intention, you're focusing on how you feel, you're asking for support from another source, you're going to be guided the direction that you're meant to go down that you never even saw for yourself. Mic drop for both.
You're just so wise deep. And it's so cool. Like, I mean, I understand that these are things, but like, you have to put them into practice, you know? Yeah. So I hope that you feel, I know that you feel humility, you carry it. It's just, you operate that way. It's obvious, but I hope you feel tremendously proud of shows up today.
Thank you.
Because you're really cool. I'm going to touch on one other thing because this feels relevant to me. Within the past week, I had the opportunity to sit down with a woman who is in her 60s and do some really cool work with her. Mm. And what we were able to uncover there was all of these ways in which life maybe has not gone the way that she would be wished it would have or something, often stemmed from this need for control. And that was a very profound learning for her to understand that, you know, like, and then if we take it back, like it was probably learned somewhere earlier of like, oh, you know, this was something I needed to control the situation because it was out of control in one way, shape or form. Because there's always stuff going on outside of our control. And so the more that I can understand that, like, there are always going to be things that are going on that I don't control. And if I think that I need to, like, I'm not going to get the job done that well. So just like letting go.
I really appreciate what you said because I've not always been this way. Mm-hmm. Control was my biggest problem. And I think it came from being my sister's caretaker, being an instructor at a very young age to younger students, being in these leadership positions. Mm-hmm. I always had control growing up. Mm-hmm. And so as an adult, as an entrepreneur, your business, things are changing. You're in a new city. Your whole life is changing around you. Grief. All of a sudden, I lost control of everything. Mm-hmm. And my first natural reaction was anger. It was being snappy. It was, if you would have met me a couple years ago, I was a straight up bitch. And the truth is, it was because I had no control of anything and I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, because you needed to run the show and it wasn't going off well.
Yes. And so for me, it was little moments of surrender, little moments of trust. And it was not all at once. Let me tell you, there's been so many rough days and I still have them.
Yep.
But little days of trust, reflecting at the end of the day is so important for me because then I'm able to say, okay, how can I just be 1% better the next day? Because mm-hmm. it's not always going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I love talking to older women too, because it puts into perspective so many things. Mm-hmm. of at the end of your life, you are going to have to reflect on everything. Maybe not the end of your life, but like when you're older, even now I reflect on things when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? How do I want to say I created change for myself? How do I want to say I accepted and trusted? Mm-hmm. And if that answer for you right now is I'm not where I want to be, how can you trust right now that you'll get there? Mm-hmm. And that will get you so much farther.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing is, you know, if anybody pays any attention to my story, then they know that it's got some yucky stuff in it.
Yeah. We all know? Got yucky stuff.
Right. Right.
It's just a matter of sharing it or not.
Yeah. Well, and just, and you know, I hold so much space for that version of myself. And in all of those years where I relied on substances to get me through life, that was my solution for so long. Yeah. And along the way, I hurt a lot of people I got hurt. But what I will say about all of that, so that's my flavor. Yet again, everybody has their own, is I like to remember.
I like that. That's my flavor.
Yeah, that's just my flavor of it. Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, we all got trauma, whatever, you know, like, and you know, it's very real.
Yeah.
But it's our own version of it. We each have it. Mine's not better or less or more or whatever. It's just mine. That's it. And yours is just yours. And it's so relevant to your story. But being able to go through all of that, none of that was for nothing. And I was collecting data, as I like to say, you know, like I mean, all of those experiences were teaching me the ways in which, because when you look at your life and you go, now you're like, I get to be proud of who's showing up today.
Yeah.
And then there are times where you're like, I really, you know, so if you're someone who's in a stage of life where you're like, I don't feel proud of much, it's not for nothing. Yeah. It's likely giving you all of the information that you need to know that, like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. And it'll help you propel you, because pain is a beautiful motivator. And then you'll get to use it to help other people, even if that's not what you think you want to do right now. It's really cool. So anyway. Okay. Anything else you want to touch on?
Thank you. I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely.
I feel like I don't know your story as deeply as maybe some, mm-hmm. but because you went through that hard time, mm-hmm. because you can relate to a lot of people that way, you are now able to guide people that are a couple steps behind you.
Totally.
And it's a really beautiful thing to watch. Yeah. And I'm grateful to be here today. But when I see you, like when I saw you at church and I was stalking you, you're this really positive, just outgoing, joyful person. Mm-hmm. And you have trauma, you have bags, mm-hmm. but that's okay. And that inspires so many people. So thank you for letting me be a part of that. And thank you for being who you are.
Thank you.
Because you're a badass.
Yeah. We have one more little quick segment too, but I appreciate you. And I think one of the things that's so big on that too is just, it took other people telling me in my life that it was okay to tell my story.
Yeah.
Because since there is so much action baked in there, that is stuff that who would be proud of that? It took people in my life encouraging that and encouraging me to use my voice. And so I have a lot of gratitude for those people who told me, like, no, we're not going to just like shove it away in the corner and pretend that it's not real. We're going to talk about it. It's going to help other people.
I think that's a little bit of what's in the Austin air, other than the allergies. There's just the supportive people here in Austin.
Totally.
That want to hear your story. And for the listeners, mm-hmm. the people watching this mm-hmm. is your permission. We're telling you to share your story.
Yes, yes. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
The truth shall set you free.
Seriously. It's true. Even when you are weak, you are strong. That was like one of the things the church was last week. Anyway, okay. I need to know, and this is going to be so easy for you, three things you're grateful for today.
Three things I am grateful for today. I'm grateful for my pants ripping, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but that is just, it's a pattern. There's a meaning. It's a sign. Maybe it's my sister. Who knows? I'm grateful for the lessons that my sister taught me, because they show up every single day in new ways. And I'm just really grateful for the people in my life. Mm-hmm. No matter who I come across, I feel like there's always something that I'm meant to learn, mm-hmm. or a way that a path I'm meant to be guided down. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for the people in my life.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Well,
can I uno reverse? What are you grateful for?
Oh yeah. No, this is how this works. We do it reciprocally. Really? Yeah. I totally always. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for wanting to hear them. And it doesn't surprise me. And also I always tell them whether you want to hear it or not. So my three gratitudes today are actually, I'm grateful for your sister too, because what you did say in that little clip that I heard, and of course now through your story, you said, you know, I used my pain I have it even written down, you know, as my purpose. And your pain through losing your sister, through the hardship with her, through the being of service to her, and then having to figure out what's next, and all of it's propelled you to some really beautiful places. And I can only imagine where it's going to take you and who it's going to help. And so I'm grateful for her role in your life. And I'm so sorry that you lost her, but I think that you'll do a bang up job of like introducing her to the world with her sense of humor and her appreciation for life.
Thank
so
you.
I'm grateful for her. I am also grateful for, let's see. I am grateful for, we have a lot of different fitness facilities here in Austin that are so fun. So we just get to bebop around. And so I'm so grateful for where I work on it, Jim. I'm also grateful for where you now train, Los Campeones. It's just fun to have optionality within that type of stuff. And so I'm grateful for a lot of opportunities there. And then I think I'm grateful for the truth. That might be really weird, but I'm grateful for people like you and so many people that I know today that are just willing to tell the truth and how, like you said, it'll set you free. Like it's just, it is so empowering to finally get as honest as you possibly can. So somewhere somebody showed me that tool and I finally decided to use it, and we're still delusional, but, doing our best.
We're still a little delulu, but
delulu. We're being truthful. I got my mom a gift that says, which by the way, her birthday is on Friday. But it says, it's about delusional optimism. What does it say? Dang it. It says something like delulu on it. Like some like optional, like delulu.
Whatever is, it is, I need it.
I don't know. Anyway, no, I can't remember. Okay. So that's all we have for you guys. Where can they find you, support you? We'll put it in the description, but just quickly.
Yes. So Connector is Connector with a K.
Yep.
The K and then H-E-R at the end. And then my social media, I respond to my Instagram DMs the most, which is RACHELLHAGUE.
Got it. Okay. Yes. Those will be in the description below. So yes, if you are a woman who feels like any of this resonated with you and you want more community, go find her and hang out with her. I don't even need to tell you that because you just listened to her. But also I will note for me, there's a couple of things I do always plug my coaching business. I have a coaching business.
Plug it in there.
And we are going to do a spring sprint challenge. It'll start May 1st. So in like a week from now, this episode will actually come out Tuesday. And I think there'll be maybe a couple of days, I don't know, before that. Anyway, you can sign up for that. It's a 30-day challenge. It's literally $39 and you get custom meal plans, custom workout programs, once weekly coaching calls. There's all sorts of stuff. So if that's of interest to you, I'll also throw that coaching in the description below. But you can just go to ClaireBaysCoach.com to discover more. And if you want to apply for one-to-one coaching and stuff there, you can. And if you're local to the Austin area and you actually want to train with me in person at Onnit Gym, please do just send me a DM and we'll coordinate getting together as well. So all of that will be in the description. And last but not least,
I just want to add, Claire is not paying me for this, but Claire coaches some of the best entrepreneurs here in Austin. So $39 is a freaking steal. So go join the freaking spring challenge, whatever you call it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been such a gift to become a fitness professional after being so resistant to it for so long. Now getting to help people like move better, feel better. It's so good.
It's that.
It's so good. So, okay. We just hope that you choose to have a beautiful day.
Yes. Choose to have a beautiful day. Do your morning pap smears.
Oh my God. That was great.